Welcome to the Financial Freedom Roundtable, where each week we break down complex financial topics so that you can more easily understand them and, more importantly, take action on your path to becoming financially free. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Grateful to have you in the room. Iris Morgan, they call me the idea guy, mostly because lack of follow-through guy just did sound so cool a little bit. But enough about me for a second. Let me introduce you to the number one financial coaches in the nation. To my left, I got the retiree of the group, Mr. Catch Me If You Can. When he's not killing bears with his bare hands or spear diving for tuna, he's right here dropping gold nuggets. The one and only Mark Haraguchi. Welcome, Mark.
Good afternoon, Russ. Oh, IBC. I mean, come on. Does it get any better than to talk about this? Because this is where it all began, man. This is the genesis moment.
We're going to talk to maybe you for the very first time about how to become your own bank. And maybe that's a term that you've been Googling. You maybe even watched a YouTube video or two. And you're like, hey, I need to figure out more about this. So, Mark, tell them why is this so important to hear right now?
This is incredibly important because how would you like to be too big to fail? I would love to be too big to fail. So if I can put myself into a position of being a bank, because really, why, right? You know, why would you want to be your own bank? Well, I mean, those guys seem to be doing pretty good over there. So how about we figure out, is that something that could be implemented within our structure? Is it something we might want to consider?
Well, and when you do a little research, you find out the banks are making 400 to 1300% on their money. That's probably just a smidge higher than you are. It might be interesting to figure out how they're doing it and what, if any, that we could emulate of what they're doing and put it into our individual family life, right?
Agreed. Is that kind of return good? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Is that good? That's not bad. All right, let's kick it over. We got a doctor in the house. He's a DFM. That's a doctor of financial medicine. And yes, he can resuscitate your financial situation. Mr. Automated Budget, Eric Hudson. Great to have you on, Eric.
Russ Morgan, man, I'm so excited to be here. It's spring. And when, you know, when winter, the darkness, the coldness of winter leaves us, we think of three things. We think of flowers. We think of the Masters, the golf tournament in Augusta. And we think of infinite banking. I mean, that's the three things of spring.
Well, I like the springing forward part of that, right? We got some momentum. We got some motivation. Hopefully, going to have some money after listening to this. Tell me, why is it so important for us to be breaking down how to become your own bank?
I'm telling you, Russ, is it okay if I give you two?
I love it. Bring it on.
Man, I like to be in control. I like to have complete control of my finances. And if I have the Eric Hudson National Bank, then that's going to mean that I have control of money inflows and out of that thing. And it just, for me, that creates so much safety and so much availability of opportunity that I now can make my dollars do exactly what I want them to do. Hey, I'm Automated Budget Guy. I know about directing my funds where I want them to go. And so I want to continue that by building my own bank. And additionally, Russ, man, I like legacy. I like legacy. It's not just about the banking that we do, IBC, which is a big part of it. We talk about that all the time. But I love the legacy part of what the structure of IBC, utilizing a whole life policy to build our banking system, what that does for my family, for future generations, forever. You know, for some people, that's legacy for family. For some people, that's a charity. Even beyond my life, I'm still in control of my dollars. So I love that.
No doubt. Here's the thing I think that I've noticed about this, and it's really just in my own life. And to me, this is the fastest way to get unstuck. If you have this just feeling of like, uneasiness about what's happening around you in the markets, maybe the political environment, maybe you've decided that what you've been doing has not got you what you wanted, and you feel a little stuck. You don't know what else to do. I believe this concept of how to become your own bank is the fastest way to get you unstuck. And here's why. Is that when we put ourselves in a position of having access to cash, we then have the opportunity to look and evaluate opportunities, investments. But Robert Kiyosaki says it so well. He says there's no good or bad investments. He says there's only good or bad investors. And for so many of us, we've spent our whole life abdicating the responsibility of investing to someone else, someone who has a financial advisory practice, a certified financial planner, our 401k, right? We've given up the responsibility of our future, right? Our wants, our desires to someone else, and have not been sharpened in our own financial IQ. And when you get yourself in a position where you have access to money, deals will find money. And when you start working on becoming a better investor, then you actually can find ways to get yourself unstuck. And here's the last thing I'll say about this. Somebody responded on one of the Facebook posts that we have, and he was talking about this concept of retirement. And so I kind of baited him a little bit, and he starts sharing me, and he starts telling me about how whenever his clients, if they do a really good job just minimizing their expenses throughout their working years, when they get to retirement, they can sip off their retirement accounts versus having to guzzle out of them. And hopefully they will need less to support their lifestyle in retirement as a result. And I just think about that, and I think, man, there's nothing less that I would want than that. Like, I don't want to think, one, of retirement, because I can't find that terminology in the Bible anywhere. There was not a situation where Moses just ran off and retired, right? You know, like, thankfully, Noah didn't retire, right? I mean, there's just an idea there of thinking so small, so scarce about money. And also, I think about, what does that do to our mentality? If we're thinking scarce, we're not able to think abundantly. We're not able, Eric, to provide a legacy for those around us. And I just love the idea is, if we start using this tool to become our own bank, then that opens us up, frees us up, as we'll talk about today on the podcast, of ways that we can turn active income into passive income and accelerate toward financial freedom and not have to wait till retirement. If you're interested in this, stay tuned. We're about to jump in it right now.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
All right, gentlemen, I want to break down how to become your own bank in three areas, right? I want to talk about what is it compared to, right? The idea of utilizing a whole life insurance policy, of all things, and what is that compared to? If we're going to use that to become our own bank, which we do, what is the opposite? Like, how does it benefit me? What are the results behind it? Secondly, I want to talk about what about that specific tool of the dividend paying whole life insurance policy. What is it that we like best about it? There's little nuances that the average person doesn't even know exist. I want us to share that. And lastly, I want to talk about what can I do with it? Because at the end of the day, it's all about using this tool so that we don't lose it, right? So Eric, I'm going to come to you first, if it's okay. Let's talk about on point number one, compared to what?
So many of us, and you've already referenced it, Russ, they find themselves, because they've been given no other option in qualified plans. Now, many of the listeners may not know this, Russ, because I've probably never shared this, is I have this guilty pleasure. So I really, you know, if it's a crime story on TV or if it's a podcast or crime story, I really like listening to those. And so I was watching one on Netflix last night, and it was really a live shot of a jail. And when they lock those guys in the jail first time, the biggest thing that they're asking is, what have I got to do to get out of here? How quickly can I get out of this jail? And when I heard them saying those words and phrases similar to that, it hit me. I'm like, where have I heard that kind of thing before? And it flashed, come flooding back, that I hear that almost every day coaching, when people realize the beauty of building an IBC system, but they're trapped and locked into their qualified plan. And what do we hear, Mark? It's, well, how can I get out of that? How can I get untrapped from this cage that I put myself in? And the difference between the qualified plan, where you're in business with a business partner, by the way, Russ, that's only going to tell you how much their cut of your business is sometime in the future. That's Uncle Sugar, as JD likes to call it. JD Hill, one of our coaches. Uncle Sugar is going to tell you how much he's going to take sometime in the future. He's the only business partner you would ever jump into a business and do that with. Not sure why we do that. So you lose control of those dollars. You don't know how much you're going to have to give away in the future. You have very little control of them in the present, as opposed to IBC, where you are the bank and you retain control. So for me, that's as opposed to what? And all three of us on this call, Russ, have rescued our dollars to some degree from qualified plans. So we are, you know, no recidivism here.
Man, this is so timely that earlier today, my wife's watching Instagram, right? Source of all great information. And if you're seeing this on a clip on Instagram right now, she sends me this clip, and it's this couple talking about how that they're paying their kids out of their business. And then went on to say, not only can we write off like an expense up to $13,000 from our business accounts and pay our kids, and they don't have to pay tax on it, but we also could then use that money and put it into a custodial IRA for our kids. And they could compound on their money for the rest of their lives or for the next 50 years, and man, they'll be millionaires. And my wife's like, well, that seems good. I mean, I want my kids to be millionaires. Russ, would we do that? And I was like, well, one, we are paying our kids, right? We are expensing it out of our businesses and using the money to pay for their expenses. That's a good tax tool. But also I said, but no, we would not treat them so poorly that we would lock their money up for the next 40 to 50 years. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, we would put their money in an account that they couldn't touch until they're 59 and a half. And she goes, that's how long they'd have to wait to get it? I was like, yeah. She goes, oh no, that'd be terrible. And see, the thing is that most of us have never considered what you just said. The second half of that is, when do I actually get access to the money? We just heard the first part. We heard the compounding interest on the money. And man, I got access to these accounts and I can avoid paying tax on the money today, or whatever it was that got us excited about it. But we didn't think about what was the consequence. Right? We didn't think about how many people are sitting in prison today that maybe not considered the consequence of their action ahead of time. And I think that it's interesting that we would talk about that as compared to what? How do we build our own bank instead of how do we build our own prison, as you said it so well. Mark, what about for you? What's a comparing how to become your own bank to something else? Give me another example.
I like the, I mean, if you're trying to build your own bank, you're having to store your cash in a different spot, right? You're creating the opportunity to store it somewhere else. The compared to what is, well, if you didn't do that, if you didn't have this system set up, how would you go about and pay for your day-to-day things? You would use cash, right? You would use the money that you have today. However, once you use that, that money is gone. It's done. It's a single use. It's a single fire system. What we're talking about is, what if you could get multiple uses out of those same dollars? And actually, as I was sitting here, I was thinking about it. Maybe an easier analogy is, imagine you plant a tree in your backyard. It's spring. I love planting. It's a good time of year. We get to enjoy our harvest. But you plant a tree in the back of your yard and it starts to grow. And all of a sudden you get cold. And you realize, you know what? I need to burn some firewood. And you have two choices. You can chop down that tree. Now, yes, I know you're supposed to wait 2 years to let it dry out so that it burns really nice. Yeah, okay, fine. Take that off the table. You can chop that tree down and light it on fire. But then that tree is gone. It's not going to grow anymore because you killed it. You stunted it. Or what if I could leave my tree and I come to you, Russ, and I say, hey, Russ, can you loan me some money so that I can go buy some firewood? And as collateral, see that tree over there? I'm going to give you that tree as collateral. So now we figure out a fair market value. You loan me the money. I go buy some firewood, throw it in the fire pit, and boom, we're nice and warm. As the year goes by, I pay you back. But next year, now what's happened? My tree is even bigger. Versus if I would have chopped that thing down, it's constantly trying to regrow. And when is the hardest time to get going? In the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning.
I've seen reports about children and the amount of resource you have to put in. We as a nation, the amount of resource we put into children is phenomenal because it's in the beginning years, right? It's in the years where we're putting a lot in and we're not seeing a whole lot of return. Yeah, you're getting some giggles, some great videos, you know, some good family memories, but there's not a lot of production. And so that's what you're doing. If you're using cash, you're constantly chopping down your tree and you're not letting it grow. You're killing its ability to grow and prosper and be even bigger than it would have been and give you more resource than it could have.
What a great analogy. I mean, so oftentimes we talk about how people paying cash are just chasing zero, right? They think that it's better than borrowing money and having to repay it and paying interest to someone else, but they don't consider the cost of paying cash. So where that money could have been earning, what a great visual to talk about cutting down the tree and not having any benefit from it in the future. And when we kill it early, oh, wow. Well, I mean, the very first analogy, the very first example I got to see around this concept, I remember exactly where I was. I was sitting in Orlando, Florida. We were at this conference and I'm listening to this guy talk about how these two sisters were buying cars. One was using cash, just kind of like the methodology you just talked about. And they were just taking the money out of their cash after they built it up and would buy a car and then would repay themselves. And the other was using this dividend paying whole life insurance policy. They were being their own bank. And I'm like, where's he going with this? And he just starts to detail the example of how, you know, they saved up enough money, one in an insurance policy, one in a CD, you know, cash. And then after a number of years, I think it was like 7 or 8 years, then they started buying cars. And they every 4 years, you know, they buy a new car, but they figured out what the price of the car was and they just repaid their account. So one took money out of the CD and sent the money back to the CD account. One took it against the life insurance policy and sent it back to the life insurance company. And here's where the magic happened. At the end of the line, it kind of did an analysis and said, okay, after, you know, this 50-year period of time or whatever it was had gone by, one person has $705,000 more in cash than the other. And I'm like, I lean in forward, like, okay, I'm interested. They both put in the same amount of money. They both bought the same exact number of cars. They both repaid the cars at the exact same amount, yet one of them has $700,000 more than the other one. They said, now, which one do you think that is? And he said, an insurance policy. And he said, here's the thing, is that we talk about how the insurance policies act as your own bank. He said, but the CD was bought from where? A bank. He said, now, what happened to the $700,000 that the insurance person got? He said that $700,000 was earned, but by whom? It was owned by a banker. And so that's where that profit went to. And I thought, wait a second. If this works on such a simple level, something like buying cars, right? Because we all buy cars. What else could this apply to? Like, could it apply to when I'm buying homes? Could it apply when I buy investments? What is the number of things that I could use this for? And would I have incremental benefit each and every time? And the answer was yes, yes, and yes. Now, if you want to go see an example of where I actually broke this down, if you go to our YouTube page, you type in the IBC explained by CFP, I actually break down an example that came out of Nelson Nash's book, Becoming Your Own Banker, on page 45. I updated it with some new numbers when I did it. So go in there and you can watch that video and see those exact numbers. Very similar to exactly what I saw when I was sitting in Orlando, Florida. All right, let's go to point number two here. We talk about using a whole life insurance policy. And by the way, we get that out super quickly because I think the part that really frustrates me if I'm watching YouTube or listening to podcasts and people talk about the Becoming Your Own Banker part is, man, they will talk about all of the things and how the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers are using this. This is used by the wealthy. Even Joe Biden's using it. And, man, they'll just go 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes before they ever tell you it's a life insurance policy that they're using to do this. And It's like there's some sort of magic that they're holding on to the whole time. Like, and Nelson Nash, like in the very first place, talks about this being a whole life insurance policy. And I think that I want you to know, like, what are we talking about here? And I don't expect you to actually think that that's the thing that you should do, because you probably have had very little, if any, experience in it. So, Mark, I want to come to you first here. We talk about using a whole life policy. What about that tool is best in your eyes?
Oh, well, if I only get to choose one, the thing that I think is best is I enjoy answering as few questions as possible, especially when it comes to borrowing money. I'll share this story. I went down to the local bank that I have a bank account with for my business, and I said, hey, I would like to set up a business line of credit, right? I mean, hey, give me some cash. As long as I can make the numbers work, I'm going to put this thing out there in the real world. I'm going to make way more than you guys are going to charge me. Let's go back to that chopping down a tree analogy that I used earlier. The small forest that they harvested to print out all the paperwork they wanted me to fill out for this loan was, it was astronomical. And I finally just said, you know what? Have a nice day. I'm just going to go use my own personal banking system, because they're only going to ask me two questions. How much do I want, and where do I want it sent?
Mm.
That's it. It's full stop. No more. And those two questions make doing business so much easier. But it also is, it goes back to Peter Parker and Spider-Man. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. You have to think a lot more about what you're doing, and you really have to be an honest banker, as Nelson says, because the access that you have is so clear. It's so simple. How much do you want, and where do you want it sent? But that right there, the speed of business on that, that's my number one favorite.
I mean, I remember when you and I were talking, if you don't know Mark, he is a pilot by trade, and Mark was considering utilizing the infinite banking concept. We're having a conversation, this many, many years ago. And I remember you like digging into the contract, reading every word in the contract, just as you would expect an engineer to do, right? Like this totally makes sense now. And I gotta be honest, haven't read every page in the insurance policy contract. Like I have, 26 insurance policies, I think, at this point. I've only read the pages that I thought were pertinent, right? And I remember you, Mark, you were like digging into that insurance contract. You wanted to know every single inch of it. And you're asking me, and as we would go through and we would look at the contractual aspects of the insurance policy, it would say who is first in line to get access to the money. And that's you, the policyholder, right? And they would tell you exactly what happens when you take a loan, right? The loan is going to be a reduction in the death benefit equal to the amount of the loan. You will have the ability to repay the loan, and they told you what interest rate they would charge you. But they didn't say that you had to pay back the loan at any single time. There was going to be no structured payments. The fact that it was going to be interest only as it accrued. All of these things become super interesting to us, man. Knowing how these insurance policies work, how they're contractually guaranteed to do all of these things, I remember for you was a huge deal. Eric, what about for you? What about the tool in particular was specifically interesting?
Well, Russ, I want to bring up a name that I know is just going to warm your heart, and that's Nick Saban.
I'm a huge Nick Saban fan in retirement.
Yeah. So Nick, Russ, for many, is considered the greatest college football coach of all time. Some people might argue there might be one or two other names, but he's on that Mount Rushmore list. Did Nick Saban win every time?
No.
The greatest of all time, and he didn't win every time. When I think about using whole life in banking, I've heard Mark say this. He said, man, isn't it nice when you can sign up for something and you know you're going to win every single time? You're going to win every day. You're going to win every year. Uninterrupted growth until you graduate from this life. Joey said it a few podcasts ago, or maybe it's one of our internal meetings. He said, I began to realize that once I got my dollars into my banking system, as many as I could get in there, from that moment until I graduate from this life, they're going to grow. And that's great news. And that seems like that could be end of the story. Except the news gets better, but wait, there's more. Tax invisible growth, Russ. We have access to that cash value tax-free as many times as we want it. Complete control. Now, I did a little bit of research because I've been getting this question a little bit lately when we start talking about how amazing this IBC system is. And I become a little bit of an IBC evangelist because I found out that a witness is somebody that just tells what they've seen, heard, and experienced. And that's what I am when it comes to IBC. And so you get, okay, well, what's the bad news? What's the flip side to that? How really good are these insurance companies that we're putting our dollars into? Are they at risk once we put them in there?
Mm.
And so I did a little research. MassMutual, which is one of the insurance companies that we use to build our IBC systems, Russ, has paid dividends since 1869.
That's not bad.
I don't know if you had your policy then. I didn't have my then. Penn Mutual's been paying them for 175 years. And Lafayette's another one we used, 117 years of consistent dividend payments. Mark, that's winning every single year. Every single year, that's winning. These companies also have, get this, these are big words, a statutory surplus. Let me tell you what that means. That's basically like net worth. Fair market value of all your assets minus all your liabilities. MassMutual's statutory surplus is $28.9 billion with a B.
Okay.
Pretty sure they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
The other companies are also in the billions. So when we put our dollars into IBC, Russ, we get these good things going, but we don't have to have that little security click in the back of our mind going, yeah, I know what they're doing for me, but are my dollars really okay? Based on the performance of these companies and their financial stability, I'd say absolutely yes.
If you've listened to our show for any length of time, you've heard us talk about infinite banking and how we are able to use that concept to create over $50,000 a month in passive income. But it's just not that easy to figure out, how does this all connect into my own personal system?
Stallion, that's why we created the Passive Income Operating System, bro. It shows you how to turn active income into passive income. It makes all the steps come together. If you would like to get access to it as a podcast listener, we've never given this away in public before, go to wealthwhatwallstreet.com/POS. There was nothing worse than walking into class when you're in school and the teacher saying, pop quiz day. Why? Because you were unprepared. Are you unprepared though for financial freedom?
Don't be. Find out how close you are by taking our 30-second quiz at wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/quiz.
And I think one of the things too there, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, so if you see them, tell me exactly, but it's always compared to what, like $28 billion. I mean, I know there's a few of you listening that's like pocket change, right? I mean, for somebody like me though, that's a lot of money. My son yesterday on the way to his little Kid Strong class that I take him to, he says, Dad, are we rich? I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, do we have a lot of money? I was like, maybe. He's like, do we have $1 million? I was like, yeah, we got $1 million. He's like, so you're a millionaire? I was like, yeah, we're millionaires. He goes, do you have $1 billion? And I was like, nobody. We don't have $1 billion. He goes, why not? So let me say this, that when we use terms like billions, right, $28 billion of surplus, it's hard to fathom. But in relationship to how much money, what are their liabilities, right? We start to think about how much money are they spending on an annual basis, right? So like if I had $100 in my bank account, but every single month I spend $10,000, $100 in the lot, right? You know, in relationship to how much I have. But if I have $100 in my bank account and I only spend a dollar every month, then I got a lot. So as a percentage, what I have found, Eric, and I don't know if you saw this as you were going through this, is their surplus is usually in excess of 300 to 400% of their liabilities. Meaning that when you say that they're going to be okay, they're significantly okay, right? Like they've got $1 million in their bank account, and when they're spending $10,000 a month, you're like, oh, yes, things go bad, they're okay.
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
All right, I want to share from my end what part of this tool is best, and I want to shake it up for those who are maybe thinking about all of these other little benefits. And the one thing that you will hear most people in the infinite banking space not talk about is the death benefit. We get so hung up on the cash values, man. We start thinking about all the fun things that we can do, how we can get access to it, as Mark talked about, right? How it compounds uninterrupted forever, all amazing things. But I want to talk to you about a death benefit and a little bit different than maybe what you're thinking. So for those who watch on YouTube, there's privileges to do that. One is we share a lot of times with our business owner clients of ways that we actually can grow our money in our businesses and benefit our employees at the same time. And so my wife ran a dental practice for a number of years, and she had this really great employee. I mean, this person was fantastic. And we wanted to incentivize this employee to stay with our team for a long period of time. Now, we knew if something were to happen to this employee were to die, for instance, or leave the company in any sort of way, it would have a significant detriment to the business. And so what we did is we bought an insurance policy on this employee. That death benefit did two things. One, it gave the employee a death benefit that in the event that something happened to them, their family could be covered. It also gave our business a death benefit on that employee in the event that something would have happened to her. We would be able to maybe go out and recruit a really good employee from somewhere else, even if we have to overpay them, and we could use that money to do it. But also the thing that I loved about this is that we were in this process, we were able to give a reward to this employee for being loyal. So we took money that most employers would have used and put it into one of those jail cells, the qualified plan for them. And instead, we put it into an insurance policy, Mark. We literally built a bank around our employee. And by doing that, we took money, we created a bonus structure for him. And we said, hey, if you stay a number of years with us, at the end of that period of time, we're going to give you a loyalty bonus. And by doing that, we are incentivizing that employee to stay long-term. And as we know as business owners, if we have turnover in our business, it's going to be highly ineffective. It's going to cause a lot of problems, and it's going to be super expensive. But when we find good team members and we're able to keep them and retain them, then we have continuity in our business so we can have acceleration in our revenues. And so what we did is we not only used an insurance policy for the death benefit that I just talked about, but we also used the cash value component of this to store this bonus cash. But here's how we used it to become our own bank. While we were storing this capital in there over a 10-year period of time, we were able, as owners of the insurance policy, to have access, as Mark said, to that cash value. And we were able to use it to buy equipment for my wife's dental practice that allowed us to enhance the revenues of the dental practice. We were able to grow the business with the cash while simultaneously using that as a reserve to ultimately pay out a bonus to this team member for being loyal to our business. And I don't think people realize that the benefits of utilizing plans like this, not only the death benefit component, but also how you can use it to not only recruit, but more importantly, retain key and important people in your business. All right, so let's move to the third point here, guys. I want to talk about what can I do with it. Eric, give me an example of what you've been able to do with this whole becoming your own banker system.
We've covered this before. The first time I met you, Russ, do you remember that meeting?
I'm trying to forget a little bit about that meeting. It was pretty traumatizing, man. You kind of beat me up a little bit in that meeting.
And what I learned from that meeting is
a variation of the old idiom that I probably can't quote verbatim, but a man with an idea can't convince a man with experience. And so my idea when I walked in that meeting was that using whole life insurance as part of your financial plan just didn't make any sense to me. Because if I switched over to that line of thinking, that meant the way that I had been living my life for 30 years, I had to just go back and look at that and say, dang it, I could have been doing something that would have been better for me. So it was a hard pill to swallow. But I was sitting there with all kinds of money and qualified plans, Russ, just building that humongous nest egg that I could sip on later, but had zero passive income. Zero. And this was maybe 5 years ago, maybe 5.5 years ago now. And as I sit here today, I have built my banking system, actually two of them now. And that zero has turned to 16 streams of passive income, all of them utilizing my personal banking system. So now not only am I earning a great rate of return on my investments, but I'm still getting, to Mark's point, that tree, I've not killed it. I'm still getting that uninterrupted growth inside my IBC system while also having legacy, death benefit, illness protection, and the list goes on and on and on. So for me, I'm more than convinced, because I've lived it, this has been a life change.
So now you've got the experience. You know exactly what has happened. And I always value when people have dissenting opinions and they're actually questioning this process. I said, you know, our experience was traumatizing. I'm obviously being a little overdramatic in that scenario. You're gracious with your questions. But for 4 years, man, for 4 years, I questioned this concept. I said, oh, they're using life insurance? Man, they must be too dumb to either, one, understand investments, or two, if they're, you know, advisors, not smart enough to be able to qualify, you know, to be able to take those fancy tests to be able to sell securities like I am. That's how arrogant I was, man. I assumed that because I was so much smarter, you know, and I had become a certified financial planner, you know, boy, I could pass some tests. Let me tell you. I could pass them in high school, but boy, I could pass them later. That qualified me to have all of this financial wisdom and insight, had no idea what people were doing. And you, as an investor now, having built 16 streams of income, have way more insight into the investing world than people that have been in the financial industry for 20 or 30 years. And I can tell you that with certainty because I spent time around them. And those people knew how to read a chart, but they were just as broke as the next person and did not understand investments and how to build financial freedom anywhere close to what you've been able to do over the last 5 to 6 years. So, man, kudos to you. Mark, what about you? Tell me, what are some of the things that you've been able to do and use this Becoming Your Own Banker system for?
The first thing that I used it for was absolutely nothing. And I say that out loud to let you know, you can have the greatest tool in the world, but then again, you might just be a tool yourself if you don't use it the right way. Like I did, without knowledge, without understanding, without coaching, without being around other people that were using it and seeing that this is actually viable and proof of concept. The very first quote banking type system I set up sat idle for 6 years. 6 years of just lazier than lazy money. But it was when I finally got around, well, the Wall Street, when I finally got around understanding and unwrapping, hey, what is this infinite banking concept? How does money actually work? Why would I actually want to do this thing? So that's actually step one, is you got to get some education around it. You can't just go out and buy a tool and hope that you can figure it out. I saw a really cool Instagram video, since we're talking about Instagram. This guy's saying, are you tired of, you know, trying to get a nail started, and he's there holding the nail and he's hammering it down. And he goes, that's just silly. He goes and grabs a nail gun, holds it about 6 inches off, and he goes, a pack. There you go. Now it's already started. Just go ahead and hammer that thing on in. And it was one of the funniest satirical things I've seen, because you're clearly not using the things the way they're supposed to be used. And so step one, you got to understand what you got, and you got to understand how to use it, because then step two is then you actually start implementing it and using it. And then you get to hopefully step three, which if this is the step you want, great. But again, I am by no means saying that this is the measure of success, but I was able to retire my dream job. As a kid, I knew I wanted to fly airplanes. I knew that's what I wanted to do. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time doing it. But then things change. Life changes. Goals change. What you want to do and what you want to accomplish changed. But because I had implemented other things, because I had thought differently about money and stored my cash in a different spot and actually used it to create passive income, I had enough that I was blessed with the passive income coming in, then I could say goodbye to my dream job and a very lucrative six-figure annual income for only working 12 days a month. But now I get to do podcasts like this for fun. So that's really, what can you do with it? Hey, it's up to you. Nelson calls it the infinite banking concept, because there are infinite ways to implement this strategy and use it. And again, life insurance is just a piece of the tool, but it's the one that we're talking about today. It's the warehouse. It's the cornerstone. And if you get this piece down, you can build whatever you want on top of it.
So good. And I love the fact that both of you were just sitting on the other side, listening, right? Sitting on the other side of the table as consumers and watching you utilize this in your life, watching you take it, apply it to the point where you're growing these passive income streams, being able to quote unquote retire yourself from their dream job and other jobs. And now are doing this because you want to give. It's a blessing for Joey and I to watch and see. Here, I get the opportunity to finish this up and to say, what is it that you could do with this? Well, one, if you're watching on YouTube, you see our passive income journey. This is Joey and I's journey over the last, basically 15 years or so. And I share this is that this, without infinite banking, this screen's basically blank. Without infinite banking, the concept of becoming your own banker, we're not talking right now. You're not listening to me because this wouldn't be there. The fact that we had access to money is what caused us to really get focused on how would we use it. It was only one item on this list prior to me buying my first whole life insurance policy and starting the concept of becoming your own banker. That's when I bought one single family home, a little condo in my college town. And the $85 I collected every single month for the first, 2.5 years of that property. And I shilled it out straight to ServPro after the fifth month, whenever the property above me, flooded out my unit. I was done. Like, I was like, that's passive income. I'm not doing it. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. And then I got that insurance policy in January 2010. And I had to start trying to figure out what should I do with money. And Mark, you can see it took me 4 years too. It took me some time. Like, I had that money just piling up and I didn't know what to do. But then we got busy. We really started getting focused. And the only reason I show this to you is not for posterity, but to literally say what you track grows. So we started tracking of this. And there's another saying to that, an add-on to that is what you track and report on grows exponentially. So Joey and I started posting this on the interwebs for everyone to see. And what did it do? It grew significantly. It grew exponentially. And all of this led to the ability for us to turn active income into passive income. I'm going to give you a website you can go to right now. Go to whatswhatwallstreet.com/POS. That stands for Passive Income Operating System. So if you want to really know how the becoming your own banker system actually can work and what you can do with it, we built an ebook that shows you how we turn active income into passive income. It's the best thing I've ever seen around infinite banking. It is amazing. And we were just drawing this stuff out. We were utilizing it on our own. And one of our friends who has a lot more wisdom and insight says, you guys need to make that into an ebook. People need to understand how that works. And I was like, oh, I never even considered that. And people who are smarter than me were able to put together this and take all of the little nuggets that we were using and we were implementing it into our life and make it really easy for you to digest and understand. But what can I do with it? Well, man, I can use it to buy assets. And those assets produce passive income streams. I can use it to collect those passive income streams. You know what? If I buy enough assets, which I have, those passive income streams actually start to pay for my insurance premiums. For those of you who get really concerned about, am I going to be able to make my insurance premiums? I can tell you firsthand, I don't have to pay them out of pocket. Our investments, our assets that are producing cash flow can pay our premiums. And they do pay our premiums. What else can I do with it? I can use it to pay for taxes. Have I? Yeah, I've been doing that for now going on almost 13 years where I collect that money that I would have otherwise given to the government throughout the year. I use it to buy assets, some of which are able to reduce and minimize my tax liability. But whatever tax liability I have left over, my CPA, and we're recording this April 11th over the next couple of days, is going to tell me exactly what my liability is for 2023. Well, where will I get the money to make that estimated payment to the government for? It'll come right out of the cash values as a loan against those cash values, use it as collateral, just like Mark explained how the tree system worked. Am I becoming my own banker through this? 100%. Do I have a lot more room to grow? 1,000%, right? I don't know if I want to be a billionaire like my son was asking, but I know that I need to continue to build my system because I want to be able to be the bank for them and all the things that they will do and ultimately be able to leave a legacy, as you were talking about, Eric. Super passionate about doing that myself. Well, if you found value today in this podcast and you want to figure out, is this a process that maybe you should be implementing in your life as well? Then I want you to forward you to wealthwhilewallstreet.com/free call. And you can put on there when you go to set up an appointment, you can say, I'm interested in IBC. And one of these coaches will get on a call with you and they'll know that that's what you're interested in. And they'll have a conversation with you, answer your questions, and determine if this is a good fit. If it is, they're going to point you to all the educational resources that we have built over the last 10 to 14 years around this. Because we believe if you understand how to utilize this tool, you won't be the person who is a tool, as Mark said. You will have a tool that you know how to use and can implement it in your family. And then you can figure out which exactly system you should be implementing. And these coaches can help you execute and identify that process as well as implementing it into your life. I hope you have an amazing day. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.